Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Warren Lance, and I want to welcome you to the weekly Take Action Team podcast, where each week not only do we want to inspire you into taking action, but we really want to give you some tools and knowledge to move your business forwards. And let me tell you, are you guys in for a treat? Grab a pen and paper, be ready to write, because our guest has so much incredible information to share with you. I mean, this individual is recognized across North America. He's been featured on CNN News, ABC, NBC, Fox News. I mean, in fact, you can listen to him on Sundays nationwide on the Talk Radio Network, the largest radio show running. And his passion has been about health his entire adult life. I mean, this gentleman has studied it and has been recognized as one of the top nutritional educators in America. I mean, that's why Fox News, ABC News, NBC, CNN bring him on their stations to educate America. So it is my absolute privilege this evening to welcome to the line none other than Dr. Tony O'Donnell. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm fantastic, Warren. Thank you so much. I feel your passion and your energy. I'm really excited to be here.
It's going to be a treat. I know you've been formulating our ISA greens and our ISA fruits for Isagenix for quite some time, and those are incredibly popular items. So I want to first of all start off by saying thank you. I think one of my favorite shakes, Tony, is taking the Isoline Pro Vanilla and then adding a packet of the greens into it, and it's almost like the Shamrocky shake, but it's one of the favorites in the Lance household.
Yeah, that's why you speak with a Canadian-Irish accent.
Well, thank you. Well, how about this? Before we jump into it, because, I mean, there's lots of talk about pH balancing. I know people will go out and get water filters to raise the pH of their drinking water, and there's supposedly be some benefits. I'll ask your thoughts on that as well. But before we jump into the call, how about share with us how you became so passionate about nutrition and red and green superfoods? How did that all come about?
That's a good question, Warren. I'm glad you asked that. Well, I had a lot of sickness in my family at a young age. I had lost my father several years ago, my mother, my fiancée to cancer later, a brother. I had so much sickness at a young age, and also I was a sickly child growing up in my native Ireland. I always tell people we were poor, but never hungry, but we were eating, all of us, including our neighbors and friends in our entire community, were eating the wrong types of food, lots of saturated fat, trans fats, a lot of what we call in Europe fried foods, very heavy foods. Though I exercised, I was still a sickly child. I seemed to be at the doctor on a continuous basis. I don't think there's any kid in the world that likes to go to the doctor or the dentist, and I certainly didn't like to go to either. And I worked on the farm, Warren, and I understood the power of cultivation. I understood the power of fertilization. I understood the power of nutrition at a very young age, at least what I understood to be nutrition, potatoes and scallions and lettuce and carrots and turnips and Brussels sprouts and things like that. And yet, despite all of that, I had so much sickness in my family, including my own health, which was terribly challenged at a very young age. I was great at sports, but I lacked confidence. And I was sickly, so I didn't know what was going wrong with me. And eventually I met someone from England who told me about the power of herbal remedies, and I thought this was a whole new world. But it made sense to me at a very young age, 15, 16 years old. And this is what started my whole quest. And I'd watch my late father and my neighbors who were farmers as well, because I grew up on a farm. Very few people grew up on a farm in this country, just a handful of us. Farming is few and far between now for most people. Certainly those of us who live in cities don't understand too much about farming unless you actually go and work on a farm, and some people do that and still do that in Europe. People travel to different parts of Ireland and England and France and Spain, and they actually work on a farm to get a first-hand experience what it's like to work on a farm and how much work is involved in cultivating and tilling the land and watering the land and hydrating it. And I understood from a very young age, my late father would say to me, son, if we don't fertilize the land and if we don't till it properly and if we don't give it the right nutrients, particularly phosphorus and potassium, we will not have a good crop. And I understood that, kind of understood it at the time, and he kept saying that over and over and over to me. And eventually, as I got older, I observed and witnessed what my late father was talking about with poor crop rotation, with pesticides, herbicides, and insecticides, with spraying, with harsh environments, with difficult weather, extreme heat or extreme cold in Ireland, extreme weather, meaning a significant amount of rain, which is good in some situations but not good in others, particularly when you want to bale hay. For those of us who know about baling hay, excessive rain will destroy the complete harvest, so it's a huge issue. So I understood at a very young age, at a tender age, how important fertilizing the land was, according to my father. And I knew, and he knew, that if the land wasn't tilled properly and wasn't cultivated properly and wasn't taken care of, we would have a terrible crop. So hence the reason why we have to supplement our bodies with the right nutrients, because of the topsoil being eroded and not enough vital nutrients to sustain us. And so being a sickly child, I developed this innate intelligence, if you will, to formulate superfoods, understanding that my own childhood was a sickly one and a weak one. I understood then from talking to an herbalist from England who introduced me to the power of superfoods. He called them herbs. I call them superfoods now. Historically, that have been used by indigenous tribes, by various cultures from different countries around the world. And once I started taking these classically, historically magnificent, what I call superfoods, many people call herbs, I started to feel unbelievable, better than I've ever felt, Warren, in my entire life. And I knew I was hooked, and I knew that I would formulate it, and I knew that I would actually bring products to market. And this is my legacy, and this is why I do what I do. This is why I write the books. I've written over 15 books. This is why I do the radio shows. This is why I do the podcast. This is why I do the ABC News, NBC, CBS, Fox. And this is why I do my talk show on Sunday, helping people understand the significant health benefits of taking into our body that which has been gifted to us by Mother Nature.
Wow. Well, it makes sense. And it usually is. The people that have the biggest impact, they're doing something that they're passionate about. And again, from your own personal experience and how it had taken these herbal remedies impacted your health so significantly, it makes complete sense why you're so passionate about it. But so, yeah, thank you for that. Now, what about all this talk about pH balancing? I mean, is it really that big of a deal? I mean, we go out, we eat. I mean, yeah, you have an apple, you have maybe a chocolate. I mean, we eat a gamut of food. I mean, doesn't our body just sort of balance it out naturally?
Not really. pH balancing is quite significant as it relates to the Nobel Prize. It was won in 1941 by Joanna Budwig and Otto von Warburg, proving that bacteria and viruses, Warren, cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment. The pH scale goes from 0 to 14. 7.0 is neutral. Anything above 7.0 is alkaline, and anything below 7.0 is acid. And scientists now know, researchers know from around the world, that anything that's in an acid condition allows for tremendous wear and tear on the human body when we're very acidic. The body is robbed of the vital nutrients, particularly calcium, a vital mineral that's necessary and needed to sustain us and to build a strong bone. So if our body is very acidic, just like the acid in our battery of our car, we need that in order for the battery to be charged, in order for it to work effectively. We don't need excessive acid in our body, and because we have too much hydrochloric acid in our gut, hence the reason why people have ill health, hence the reason why people have significant digestive issues, hence the reason why the microbiome or the digestive tract or the acidophilus and lactobacilli considered our second brain, hence the reason why there is so much turbulence in our gut because of excessive hydrochloric acid. Though we need it for digestion because of excessive stress, it causes a cascade of problems. We get esophageal reflux disease, we get burning in our throat. We get a disruption of the friendly flora in our gut. So the pH scale is significant from a health standpoint because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment. This was proven way back in 1939. So green foods are the highest on the DNA chain. They're full of life. They're full of energy. They're full of chlorophyll, which is liquid sunshine. They deodorize and cleanse and detoxify the body. They take you out of acidosis, an acid state, and put you into a balanced alkaline state, and therein lies the key to overall good health. And that's exactly, we make no claims on any of our calls about any of our products, of course, but that's exactly what our green superfoods attempts to do. It takes you out of that acid state. It rebalances the microbiome. It helps with our digestive system. It cleanses and deodorizes our body and puts us into a state of abundant health. That's exactly what they do.
Wow. So what kind of foods typically have our pH become more acidic? I mean, you just said the greens are really good at helping pull us into a more alkaline state. They're very high in on the pH scale. But what kind of foods are some of the worst that we as North Americans consume on a regular basis without even really thinking about it, but it's having a detrimental effect on our body? I mean, what would you say some of the things that come to mind just real quickly?
Well, at the top would be sugar. Second would be coffee, any sugary drinks, ding-dongs, donuts, big gulps, french fry, pizza, Pepsi, Prozac. Any type of medication creates a lot of acidosis in our body, so it disrupts our whole endocrine system. It disrupts our lymphatic system. That's one of the reasons why people feel so magnificent when they do our cleanse, Warren, because one is giving one's digestive system a rest from the copious amounts of food that we eat on a daily basis, and also the air we breathe, the food we eat, and the water that we drink are all highly toxic. We have more toxicity than ever before. We create a lot of free radical damage from the choices that we make on a daily basis. This is the first generation where children will die before their parents. So to answer your question, the things that make us highly acidic are the coffees, are the sugars, are the trans fats and the saturated fats, lack of exercise, poor dietary choices in essence. So if we take a lot of medication, we smoke cigarettes, we eat a lot of pizza, we do a lot of soda pop. These types of things tend to make us very acidic, sluggish, tired, lethargic, poor mental acuity, lack of energy, adrenal exhaustion, sleep deprivation, all these things, or we sleep too much, so one or the other.
You mentioned just a moment ago in there, you mentioned lack of exercise. So are you saying that if we exercise, that can help balance our system as well?
If you lack exercise?
Yeah. Like you're saying exercise. You mentioned in there, you mentioned lack of exercise also contributes. So are you saying like if we exercise, that's going to help balance our system? I mean, it seems to make sense, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do the treadmill, as you know. I exercise all the time. You've been with me many times. I hike. I know that you hike, you bicycle, you run, you move your body. Anytime that you move your body, you're burning fuel as a source of energy. You're burning up those calories. When we see one that's or a person, male or female or a child now, it's hard to believe our children are so overweight. This is, as I said earlier, child obesity has skyrocketed in America. Diabetes has gone up a whopping 600% according to the World Health Organization, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control out of Atlanta in America. So when you exercise, you're actually raising what's called your basal metabolic rate, the rate at which you burn food for fuel as a source of energy. When you are sedentary, you are creating dysbiosis, acidosis. You're creating an unfriendly environment where pathogens, viruses, bacteria, food, waste matter, poor elimination, toxins, fatigue, adrenal exhaustion, all build up and build up. You become restless, you become agitated, you're not motivated, and you gain a significant amount of weight. So when you move your body and drink plenty of clean water, that's one of the most important things. There is a book out called Your Body's Many Cries for Water, and we know from research that 70, 80, and even 90% of all health challenges has to do with the lack of proper hydration. People think by drinking soda pop all day long that that's hydration. That is not, because it's filled with sugar, and this is why it creates a cascade of problems, particularly type 2 diabetes. So yes, simply by exercising and moving your body can change your biological terrain, because we all suffer from biological rusting. We all rust on the inside from our toxic environment, particularly from free radical damage, which ages us dramatically. So by moving our body, whether it's walking, whether it's a treadmill, whether it's swimming, whether it's bowling, tennis, or in your neck of the woods where you guys do a lot of rowing, a lot of water sports are important to a lot of people there in Canada. You guys are very active. You're very robust. That's why you've got great skin. You're out. Your skin's well hydrated. You're lean. You're fit. You're healthy. You're always moving your body. You're out fishing. You're doing things that connects you with Mother Nature. And in so doing, you're connecting with the very essence of who we are, the very fiber of our being. And when we do that, rather than living on packaged foods, foods that are filled with phthalates and toxins and pesticides and herbicides and insecticides, and in essence, get us addicted and make us fat, that's not good for you. That is not conducive to a good overall healthy lifestyle.
Okay. So explain to me how red and green superfoods really support that balancing of between an acid state and a pH state. I mean, how much are we having to eat on a regular basis? Let's delve into that. Like how do the red and green superfoods do it?
Well, that's a great question, Warren. After reading all of the research of Dr. Lansky and Dr. Newman, two amazing researchers, and also Tufts University in Boston have discovered many years ago, in fact, the Framingham study, which is now ongoing for some 30-plus years in the United States, it was a remarkable study that came out that suggested that men and women who consume 7 to 9 servings, that was old, according to the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, who consume 7 to 9 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables could cut their risk significantly of degenerative disease by a whopping 66%. 86% of the U.S. population hardly eat, and North America hardly eat, any fresh fruits and vegetables. Yet the research indicates that in cultures that consume copious amounts of dark leafy greens, according to Tufts University in Boston, it's called ORAC, oxygen radical absorbance capacity, meaning the ability of a dietary superfood or supplement to enter the bloodstream and render some of these free radicals useless, was significant, because we need to mop up these free radicals. And when we look at what a free radical is, it's what's called an unpaired electron. It's like letting a child walk down the road on his or her own in the middle of the night without any protection, and then all of a sudden you go along and you pick your child up and you've got to bring your child back to the house because you know it's really dangerous. You wouldn't do that under normal circumstances unless you're absolutely crazy. That's what an unpaired electron looks like. It looks like there's no safety provided for the nucleus of the cell in the human body, and when we give it another electron, the two are paired together, so consequently no damage is done. When one gets damaged, it goes awry and it floats around the body seeking another electron. So it creates a cascade of problems. It's like a runaway car without any brakes. It's like a child flying down the road on its little scooter with no brakes on it, and you can't stop it. You gotta try and jump and run in front of it and try and stop the child from causing damage to himself or indeed to the bicycle or to the wall. And I've seen that happen lots of times at the mall and on the roads here in Los Angeles, Malibu area, where kids float around on their little mopeds and little bicycles and stuff, and a brake will fail or they don't know how to handle it. That's what an unpaired electron looks like. So what green foods have, what they do in essence, and what red superfoods do, such as that which is found in our isofruits and healthy greens, is they provide a significant level of chlorophyll. But not only that, Warren, they provide a tremendous amount of antioxidant support, meaning they're able to obliterate and to mop up and to prevent this free radical scavenging ability and biological rusting to create havoc in the human body. Not only do they do that, they also cleanse, rejuvenate, restore, replenish, balance, and change the biological terrain from acidosis to alkalinity, and in so doing, because it has a significant amount of vitamins and minerals, 90 minerals, 22 amino acids, and 65% protein. The Nobel Prize was won again by Linus Pauling, proving that vitamins and minerals are a significant line of defense in the fight against free radical damage. He even went on to say, Linus Pauling, that every sickness and every ailment can be traced to a vitamin mineral deficiency. And I mentioned earlier, Joanna Budwig and Otto von Warburg won the Nobel Prize in 1939 and 1941, proving that bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment. Green foods and red foods provide oxygenation. The more oxygenation, the less free radical damage, the less biological rusting. And that's exactly what our greens, that synergistic blend of green superfoods and isofruits, that's exactly what both of those products do. You're getting 10,000 milligrams of greens, 10,000 milligrams of fruits, 20,000 milligrams per serving. That's the equivalent of about 13 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables in every scoop. It's quite remarkable.
Well, so you're telling me I have that one packet, that one sticker, the scoop of the greens in my shake in the morning. It's the equivalent of me getting 13 servings of fruits. In that Farmingham study that you said, they're saying that we should be consuming 7 to 9. So you're saying by just having one packet of greens, one packet of fruits a day, I'm getting all the fruit and vegetable requirement my body requires?
Absolutely. Not only are you getting all the fruits and vegetables that the body requires, you're also getting significant coverage. It's like having proper insurance. You know, if you don't have good insurance and you go to the hospital, all of a sudden the doctor says, well, that's going to be $500,000. If you have good insurance, insurance will cover it. If you don't, then there's no coverage. So the greens and our fruits are significant health coverage for your body that's affordable, that's effective, that's inexpensive, that provides significant antioxidant support. That's what red and green foods do now. Their letters and the phone calls and the emails and the research and the observational studies that have been done and placebo studies that have been done all over the world, not just in the United States, but literally every country in the world now, suggests that men, women, and children. Not only that, I learned going through grad school, Warren, well, I certainly make no claims. These are all well documented. I've written 15 books on the benefits of all of this stuff, including Miracle Red Superfoods That Heal and Miracle Green Superfoods That Heal. The research indicates that in cultures that consume the most amount of dark leafy greens and colored superfoods, we call them colored superfoods because that's exactly historically what they've been used by indigenous tribes from various cultures around the world, they seem to have longer life, they seem to have less degenerative disease, they seem to live longer, they seem to be healthier, they have better self-esteem, they have less arthritic conditions, they're leaner, they're fitter, they're healthier, they have beautiful smiles, and they also have improved sense of well-being. They have much more meaning and joy and health in their life, particularly the indigenous tribes that live in the rainforest. They can't go to McDonald's. They can't go to a Bob's Big Boy. They can't go to a Pizza Hut, Warren. They got to go to Mother Nature, and they honor and respect Mother Nature. And I, as a farm boy from Ireland, honor and respect our farmers, our farm workers in this country and indeed in North America. I love farming. I go onto farms all the time. In fact, there's a farm north of me called McGrath Farm, organic farms right here in Camarillo, and I go and I walk the fields and I see what they're doing, I see what they're planting in the soil, I watch what they're doing. They're doing a lot of organic farming. They don't use synthetic or any form of fertilizer that it's not conducive to good health. They watch what they spray on the land so that when we eat this food off the land, we're taking into our bodies that which Mother Nature has intended for us, which is done in a healthy way rather than some of the produce that's grown for us in our culture, in our country, that has been heavily sprayed with pesticides, herbicides, and insecticides, or indeed has been genetically modified. And that's a whole other story. But our greens and fruits are designed specifically to provide significant antioxidant protection and to provide you with a level of protection against the onslaught of our toxic environment, whether it's from the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water that we drink, or our toxic environment, toxic factories, spraying, pesticides, herbicides, malathion, methylparaben, propylene glycol, ethanol, petroleum-based products. All of these cause a cascade of problems, particularly for the human body and the liver and the lymphatic system. So when you consume our greens and fruits, they are designed to provide a level of protection for those of us who don't consume copious amounts of fresh fruits and vegetables, and it's also to complement our existing intake or lack thereof.
Wow. Wow. Now, that being said, who should take greens and fruits? I mean, you hear about, we have a lot of athletes or weekend warriors where people are out exercising, you're breathing more of this polluted air into your body and all this. Is for the athletes, I mean, should they be taking more of the greens and fruits? Or, like, again, obviously everyone should take greens and fruits, but do you have any recommendations, I guess, for our weekend warriors or people that tend to exercise more? Is there a difference?
I go through personally, just before the podcast, I just took a huge, big gulp of greens with protein. I do that because it really stabilizes me and curbs my cravings. If you are a weekend warrior, you need more. If you are a champion athlete, you need more. If you work out a lot, which I do, I'm not overzealous, but I certainly work out, and I mix up my workouts now. Before, I used to do just one set of workouts. I'd lift weights and wouldn't do anything else, really. Now I'm doing a combination of weights, steps, Pilates, yoga, push-ups, sit-ups, the Vibe machine, and I also do the hot sauna. So I do about 7 to 8 different types of exercises on a consistent basis. If you're out hiking and you're moving your body a lot and you need to drop a few extra pounds, then take more. If you're a mother and father and you're raising children and you have 2 or 3 children, you need more because you're working. Children take a significant amount of work, a significant amount of energy. Mothers are up at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to midnight nonstop. I know. I come from a family of 11. I watched my late mother work so hard and providing for such a large family. That's why I honor mothers. I honor parents. I honor single moms. I honor single dads in this country. They work exceptionally, exceptionally hard. So I personally go through 2 canisters a week, Warren. Sometimes I'll drink greens 3 times a day. You know, you've been to my house. So I'm always making shakes. I'm always making smoothies. And I don't crave the bad stuff. It's when I'm on the road that I find it's a little bit more difficult when I travel a lot. And so now I've got into the habit of bringing a lot of my protein shakes and my greens and stuff with me. Or if I'm at an Atogenic celebration, New Year's kickoff, or whatever conference, or IC University, I know that I'm always guaranteed to have shakes because I ask the volunteer staff to get me some stuff, and that's really great. But on the road, I'm much more mindful now, though it's difficult sometimes on a plane to carry stuff. And so I usually just rent a car, and if it's not too far, I'll drive across the country, and I load up. I got my protein, I got my greens, I got my fruits, I got the food that I like to eat, the gluten-free, wheat-free stuff, and so I don't miss a beat. And then I usually find a juice bar in whatever city I'm going to. I'll usually Google it ahead of time and see. So you can make it work for you. Bring a tote bag with me so I can load up on the things that I like to eat. And most hotels now and restaurants have really good food across our country.
Yes, absolutely. Now, question for you. What about the best time? Is there a time during the day, like I know a lot of times when we exercise, having an Isolene Pro shake for recovery is fantastic, like taking it within 20 minutes of finishing your workout. Is there an optimum time of day to be actually taking your greens and fruits, or does it matter?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. It does matter. I like to get my day off to a great start like I did right now with my shakes. I like to make, first thing in the morning, I like to get my day started off with my shake and with my protein and my vitamin C, some blueberries, sometimes bananas, sometimes not, but mostly blueberries. I like a good shake first thing in the morning. Gives me energy. It satiates me. It curbs my cravings. It balances my blood sugar levels. It gives me energy, mental acuity, and I get my day off to a great start. I don't want to start my day with coffee and donuts. I don't want to start my day with soda pops. You know, it's amazing what people eat on a daily basis. I watch people go into coffee shops and places all across the country, and they just fill themselves up with the wrong types of carbs, the wrong types of sugar, and an hour later, they're falling asleep at the wheel, they're falling asleep at their office, they have no mental acuity. You want to start your day with greens and protein. That's a great way not only to keep you lean, but also to satiate you and to give you mental acuity and to give you strength. You should always be eating. I always tell people, always be snacking. Always be snacking on the right types of food. So when I feel tired, boom, I do a shot of greens and protein. My energy level's through the roof, and then I go and do, you know, 50 or 100 push-ups. Then I'll go and do a 2-mile, 3-mile, 4-mile run on the treadmill. I'm always doing something to move my body, and I'm always fueling and feeding my body with the right nutrients. Just like when your baby cries, you know the baby needs feeding. A great athlete needs proper nutrition. A great horse that runs in a race needs proper nutrition. And by the way, Warren, a horse that comes in first in a race is only a nose better than the horse that comes in second, but it's competitively so great because of the proper nutrition. Athletes know that, and they know that the proper nutrition can allow them to, you know, a catch in an NFL Super Bowl can be a second, but it can mean the difference between winning the game and not winning the game, and therein lies the difference. So for us who are not competitive athletes, I take it, as I said, I take 2 canisters of greens a week, and I do that continuously. There's no right or wrong time. You just don't want to take it at 12 o'clock at night. It may keep you awake because it's in a pre-digestible state, meaning that the body does not have to go to work to break it down, so it's digestible immediately you put it in your body. The same with our protein, because they're live foods. So you get that instant burst of energy when you take our fruits and greens first thing in the morning or in the afternoon or before a workout or when you're going for a hike or a walk or going for a swim. It's always good to put the good nutrients in so that your brain is being fueled by the right nutrients, because your brain runs on glucose, and everything that's in our greens and fruits converts to glucose, but it's very low, I should say, on the glycemic index, because there's less than 1 gram of sugar, no fat, and no cholesterol, and exceptionally low in carbs. So it complements your existing program that you're on. It complements your 9-day, your 30-day. So you feel really magnificent, and you're optimizing maximum performance depending
nice.
On your level of activity.
Now, question, you mentioned you like to take the greens with a protein. It helps stabilize. Like, you like to take it. Is that the isolene shake, or is it just the IsoPro, just the whey protein all on its own, or either way is okay?
Either way is okay. I do the berry harvest. I like that with my greens, with some blueberries. I put that in my shake, and I absolutely love that. I've done the IsoPro, I've done the Isolene. You just find out what works best for you, but everybody should be on the greens and the fruits, because the evidence, the research is overwhelming in favor of people consuming copious amounts of dark leafy greens and red-colored superfoods. And as I mentioned earlier, Warren, in cultures that consume these rich phytonutrient compounds, they seem to age much more gracefully. They have improved hair, skin, and nails. They're leaner, fitter, and healthier than in cultures who don't. We simply don't eat vegetables in this country. We simply do not. The statistics tell us we don't. I watch and observe people. That's what I do for a living. I'm in a restaurant. I watch what people eat. I see they don't eat any vegetables. And so it's mostly a bucket of bread, you know, to start your dinner with. And people have more carbs just in the bread. And then another big steak, onions, and you have digestive disturbance, you're lethargic, you're tired, you can't sleep, and you have poor mental acuity, you have no energy, and you have difficulty moving your body. So it's really a challenge. That's why I tell people who eat a big heavy meal, supplement with hydrochloric acid, extra digestive enzymes to break down your proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, because you literally feel so lethargic after a heavy meal. I tend to eat smaller meals more often. I eat more probably than anybody else I know, but I'm very lean, as you know, Warren. I'm fit, but I eat smaller meals frequently rather than one big meal for breakfast, one big meal for lunch, and one big meal for dinner. I eat smaller meals continuously. I'm always stoking what's called the mitochondria, so I'm always keeping my energy levels up, and if I have to eat my carbs, I eat them first thing in the morning, and then later in the day, more proteins, plenty of water, digestive enzymes, and then a shake or extra fiber before you go to bed.
Wow. Okay. I've been scribbling notes furiously. I guess one final question for before I let you go, Tony, is what about on a cleanse day? Can we, on a cleanse day, take some water with greens mixed in? I know on a cleanse day we can take a little bit of our hydrate, our electrolyte powder, mix it in water and drink it down, and that's okay. What about, can I take some of that hydrate and then add some greens to it and drink it down on a cleanse day as well?
I'm so glad you asked me that question. When we cleanse, our basal metabolic rate, as I mentioned earlier, our basal metabolic rate, the rate at which we burn food for fuel as a source of energy, slows down significantly. And so we become sluggish, we become tired, we have poor mental acuity, we have fatigue, we have foggy brain. So the greens is designed to complement your 9-day and your 30-day. In fact, Warren, it'll make your 9-day and 30-day work much more effectively because of the caloric content is really low. The fat content is zero. The sugar content is less than 1 gram per serving. The carb content is really, really low. So when you do a 9-day or a 30-day, yes, absolutely. Throw a scoop of the greens in there with water. Don't use any juice whatsoever. And you will see that you'll actually drop and shed more pounds. You'll get leaner and fitter, and you will have more energy. And you will also have significantly more muscle mass because you're allowing your body to function much more effectively. You're allowing the fuel to be used up and burned much more effectively and efficiently. And so you will seek optimal health as a result of working this way. And your 9-day and 30-day is much more effective than if you stop because the body goes into shock mode. It's saying, oh, Warren's not giving me any food for the next 9 days, in essence. He's only allowing me 1,000 calories on this cleanse per day, and wow, I need 3,500, I need 5,000. Michael Phelps, for example, the greatest champion of all time, a swimmer, he was consuming 12,500 calories a day as an Olympic athlete. Well, we don't need to consume that otherwise, because every 3,500 calories is equivalent to a pound of body weight. So when you cut back on your calories, your body goes into shock mode, your basal metabolic rate is slowed down, the heat producing energy in your body, meaning calories, is slowed down. And when you actually give the body, this is the remarkable thing that people don't understand, when you give the body the right nutrients, particularly something as powerful as our greens and fruits, you're actually helping the body burn more fat and burn more fuel because it's energy efficient. It is in a pre-digestible state, as I mentioned earlier, so meaning the body does not have to use any energy, thus making you much more effective at burning through your fuel that you're eating, or when you're on the cleanse day, you're actually giving your digestive system a rest, but you're spiking your energy levels by taking the fruits and greens, and consequently, as a result, you'll drop more weight, you'll burn more calories, and you'll get leaner and fitter as a result.
Wow, love it. Well, I can tell you what, I'm going downstairs to make myself a nice shake right now, and I'll make sure I put a packet of the greens into it. Tony, it has been an absolute treat. Now, you mentioned, I know you have like 15 books out, The Miracle of Super Greens and the Reds. If someone wants to order some of your books that you've written, what's the best way to do so?
Well, all of my books are on Amazon.com. There's a whole list. Just key in my name, Dr. Tony O'Donnell, PhD, or you can go to my website. There's lots of my products on there, too. Just go to www.radiant, R-A-D-I-A-N-T, Radiant Greens with an S, Radiant Greens with an S.com. All of my books are on there, and there's a great book on there on the late Mother Teresa. All profits from that book, proceeds, go to her ministry in San Diego. She's got many ministries all over the country in North America. We give money to the ministry to provide shelter and food and clothing for the homeless on the streets of our country.
Well, Tony, I just want to say thank you so much. It's a blessing having you part of Arlene's and my life. I mean, I value and cherish your friendship, yours and Katie's. And I just want to really thank you for everything that you do. You're so welcome to step up, participate, and really make a difference to the people in our community and in Isagenics as a whole. So I really want to say thank you for that. And guys, if anyone wants to get a copy of this recording, because I think I got cramps in my fingers trying to write as quick as Tony was talking, you can go to Facebook, Take Action Team, and Katie will put the podcast up there. You can also go to just www.takeactionteam.com. There's an email list there, and Katie will send out the recordings to you. And the third way is go to Podomatic and just follow the Take Action Team, and the podcasts get published there. You can download them, and as Tony said, when you're going for a hike, you're going for a cycle, a run, you can listen to these great podcasts and improve your knowledge. So once again, Tony, thank you so much. It's been an absolute treat. And you know, you prompted me. I made a big note, my friend. GMO, would you be willing to come on and do another call talking all about GMO?
Absolutely. GMOs are a huge issue. They've been banned now. GMOs have been banned in 50 countries around the world. We have an issue. We've got to take our health back. We've got to stand up for what we believe in, or we will fall for anything. I'd be happy to come back and talk about GMOs.
Awesome, my friend. Well, we're going to do that in the new year. With that, everyone, have a spectacular week, and we'll talk to you all soon. Take care. Good night, everyone.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Thanks, Warren. Thanks. Bye.